Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Felicity. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Dance Again by Edmundo Rose, a 1962 release on London Records, catalog number SP44015. London Records is the US label of the UK label Decca, so that catalog number is PFS4016.
So I believe that this record comes from my grandmother's collection. However, this could have just as easily come from any of Flissy's random Latin album collecting.
It's certainly true.
And I know we have several other Edmundo Rose albums, but
yeah, we got a bunch.
This one is a particularly fine example, and so we're featuring it today. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what this album is, Flissy?
So the cover of this album, this is in phase four stereo, and so it has this silhouette of the number four, and inside of that is some people assumably dancing the cha-cha, and around them there are some, you can see kind of in the edges of the four, a pair of maracas held by some ruffled sleeved gentlemen probably. And like in the background, it's this purple background where it says Dance Again, Edmundo Rose and his orchestra, a track listing. And then on the back, it has, again, the title. And on the right, some other sort of pictures of maracas. It seems to be a very important theme of this album. And some little cutouts of graphics and photos. And then it does have a description, a little bit of a teaser about the Phase 4 and Edmundo Rose in general. And for each track, it has a little bit of a description of what to listen for, which I think is kind of interesting, and where to hear the instruments in each track.
Yeah, and this album is like a gatefold. And
oh, yeah.
Inside has sort of a technical synopsis or something.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, actually. Yeah, it has this gatefold. It doesn't have any further information about Edmundo Rose, but it has this graphic about this like custom mixer that they use for the Phase 4 recordings, and it has this piece of tissue on top so that you can flip up and see, it's got an example of like drums and piano and flute, and then you can like lift it up and see like, oh, but you can have 20 channels, and then it shows you how it distills those channels into right and left.
Yeah, so I guess the Phase 4 comes from it mixing down the 20 channels into being recorded on a four track tape.
And then like the track 1 and 3 goes to the left channel, and then tracks 2 and 4 go to the right channel.
Yeah, so I guess that this is an early example of people, I guess, playing around with recording techniques and, really exploring stereo and laying things out in space, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it has this, on the front of the cover, it has this Phase 4 stereo plus IM20CR. I'm like, what does that mean? And so if you open it up, it's individually monitored channel recording. And so for each of the tracks, each of the instruments, the person, the sound engineer can decide like, oh, we want the drums to be louder here. We want to find a placement in space and, choose whether they're in the right or left channel.
All right, well, should we get to our first clip?
Yeah, I picked the very first track. It's called Patricia.
All right, let's take a listen.
Thank you.
All right, so I really like this recording. I mean, this is one of those songs that sort of has sort of infiltrated pop culture, and it's one that may be recognizable to you even if you don't necessarily know the song. For example, I mean, well, first of all, I guess this was composed by Perez Prado, and it appeared in such places such like The Simpsons, one of the episodes in the first season, and also Fellini's film La Dolce Vita from 1960, and I guess also Caetano Veloso, who we talked about earlier on this show. I guess he has a 1999 live recording of this song. But the one I'm most familiar with is from Tommy Dorsey's Tea for Two Cha-Chas, which is, I guess, a Flissy classic.
Of course it is. I was looking lovingly at my collection of Latin and cha-cha and bongo albums, and it was like takes up one whole cube in the Expedite. It's just admiring them fondly, which is how I decided, like, oh, I got all these Edmundo Rose albums, and I don't really know much about him, so why don't we listen to some Edmundo Rose on the show?
So what do you think about this track, Felicity?
Wait, did you have anything to say about what you thought about this version of the song?
Well, yeah, I think that this song, this version is a very solid version. It may surpass the Tommy Dorsey version with which I'm most familiar.
Oh, yeah, for sure it does. Like, Tommy Dorsey, I like that Tea for Two Cha-Cha's album, but it is, like, so twee. It's, like, the, like, really steady, like, ballroom dance 101 cha-cha rhythm. It's, like, really, like, mid-tempo the entire time, and yeah, it's like just so cute.
Which, there's something that I like about those sort of like stately cha-cha. Yeah, this album has a little bit more of like a, I don't know, sort of like Hollywood Latin music, or you know, sort of Latin movie flair to it. I don't know, what do you think, Felicity?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because we listened to Xavier Cugat this evening also, and I have a different opinion about that.
Okay.
I talk about that now?
Well, you should first tell us what your thoughts are about this track.
Okay. So this version of Patricia, like, I think this is so awesome because it's really like a little bit on the raucous side. I love the bass trombone on here. And if you're not already listening to this episode on headphones, you might want to give it a try, because there's like all this play with the right and left channels that like trumpets will come up on one channel, and then the bass trombone like comes up like really strong in the left, and then the bongos are holding it down on both sides. So I think like there is in the 50s and 60s, there's like every single label seems to have like, oh, like this is very special recording technique we've got, and you should use this very specific needle, and it's like this seems like everybody's got a gimmick. And I think like the phase four, like this album in particular, it's definitely really like playing with the novelty of like the right and left business. And you hear this a lot on the Exotica albums too, like Martin Denny and Arthur Lyman, they have like the fly, the tsetse fly song, where it's like the bug is flying from the right and left channels. I don't know, like, I'm totally a sucker for that kind of novelty. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. And also, like, the Tommy Dorsey cha-chas are like so reserved, and this one's just like so over the top. So that I love this one because it's like it's got just like that wild bass trombone, and then it has a little bit of like gentle melody parts in there too, but it's like it's kind of all over the place. I really enjoy it. Like, all cha-cha makes me happy. Like, it's just, it's the best.
All right, well, what can you tell us about Edmundo Ross? Let's see.
So he was born in Trinidad, December 7th, 1910, and his mother was Venezuelan, and his father was part Scottish, and so he was kind of mixed heritage. And as a child, he learned how to play the euphonium and some percussion instruments when he attended military school. And he left for Venezuela to study at the Academy of Music there after his mother remarried. So I guess he did not get along with his stepfather at all and was trying to get out of that situation as quickly as possible. And so when he first went to this Academy of Music in Venezuela, he started playing in nightclubs in Venezuela. And then in 1937, he moved to London to study music at the Royal Academy there. And while he was in London, he really kind of cut his teeth playing in nightclubs, and he formed a dance band. And I'm not totally clear on the details of this situation, but he was named in a divorce case. Like, I don't know if he was like the, you know, the gentleman having an affair with a woman who was married, but whatever the situation was there, this was like at the high society. And so it was heard like in the king's court, this case. And he totally took advantage of just having his name like out in the society papers, be like, hey guys, I got a band. And so that was like, he just took advantage of having his name, having some awareness, and he was able to kind of get some notoriety, good or bad, who knows, but eventually he used it to his advantage.
Yeah, as Trump has taught us, all publicity is good publicity. Right.
And so as a result, he, like, in a roundabout way, ended up having this dance band and playing frequently to royalty because of his, like, his position in social circles, good or bad. He was up there and, like, with hobnobbing with all the fancy people. And he played at this club called the Coconut Grove in London, and he bought that place in 1951 and renamed it Edmundo Ross Dinner and Supper Club. And apparently during that time, because he had, you know, garnered such fame among the wealthy, among the royal families, he could, like, really, like, only let in who he really wanted in the club. And allegedly he turned down Peter O'Toole. So I'm like, whoa. Why you turned down Peter O'Toole? I wouldn't turn him away from my club, personally. So anyway, he had that going for quite some time. Eventually, the club closed in 1965. Apparently, that was about the time where casino gambling became legal, and that drew some of the crowd away from, like, the dinner club scene. And this is also kind of towards the tail end of, like, the Latin music craze. And so, yeah, the club closed in 1965, and then he spent the time, like, through the 70s, late 60s and early 70s, doing international touring. And he retired in Spain in 1975, and apparently he was quite wealthy at that time. And he still, it seemed like he did some occasional performances. His last official public performances in 1994. And he died in 2011, just before his 101st birthday, which I think is pretty decent run.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, should we listen to our second clip?
Yeah, what'd you pick?
Well, I had a hard time picking basically all of side two I liked, but I ended up picking the second song on side two, The Wedding Samba. Thank you. Lizzie, what'd you think?
I have basically two thoughts about this song. Like, the first one, it's got this teaser. It sounds like it's going to go into the song Brazil. And then it's like, then it turns into just like Chimetown. I like the is that a glockenspiel, or is a glockenspiel a little thing you play with the cow, like the mallet?
Yeah, I think a glockenspiel is like
it's a mallet.
Isn't that like a toy xylophone?
Yeah. Anyway, the chimes.
Yeah.
They're pretty epic. It's loud, and it kind of comes out of nowhere. And it's just, again, like, much like Patricia, this song has like a raucousness to it that is not in every Latin band or like dinner club band, basically. Yeah, it's a little over the top. I'm a fan.
Yeah, so I felt like, you know, we should probably get a divorce so that we can get remarried and play this song at our re-wedding.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before in our Ray Conniff episode, I love anything with chimes. So I think that that's what tipped this song over the edge for me and made it my selection. But it's a little strange. There's like some kind of like, turns into kind of like a march in the middle there and has some interesting percussion. I think what you're getting at there with the intro sounding a little bit like Brazil is because I think that this is actually kind of like a, you know, it's an American composers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this was written, I guess, I think originally as a rumba, but then it was featured in the Esther Williams movie On an Island with You, and it's performed by Xavier Cugat, and then it was later recorded by Carmen Miranda with the Andrews Sisters. So it's kind of, you know, of that genre of American music where it's, you know, just sort of ambiguously Latin.
Ambiguously Latin. My favorite genre.
So mentioning Xavier Cugat, you were saying before that you had some comparison of this to Xavier Cugat.
Yeah, I think maybe we're going to talk about Xavier Cugat on next week's episode, and I might have more to say about that then, because I think like Edmundo Rose, I feel like this album is like way more like party and like, I don't want to say sloppy, because it's like, it's obviously well structured arrangements, but there's so much going on. There's like so many different instruments that it's a little bit of like, it sounds a little bit chaotic. And I think Xavier Cugat arrangements are, even though they have a really similar song vocabulary that they're working with, I think Xavier Cugat's albums, they have a more prominent string section, and as a result I think they sound a little bit more refined, and I think Xavier Cugat sounds more like a Hollywood band than an Edmundo Rose.
Interesting.
So we can get into that more next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that some of that has to do with this album being that, you know, Phase 4 stereo, and I really think that they wanted to show off sort of like their recording techniques. And you know, like you mentioned, they do play around with the stereo sound field. And so I think that that is a little bit of where the, you know, the a lot of instruments and like the a little bit of the chaotic sound comes from. But I have to say, overall, I think that this album is recorded very well. It sounds very good. You know, I mean, I think that they did a technically proficient job of recording it. And so I think it holds up pretty well. What do you think overall, Fussy?
Overall, I'm a big fan. I'm glad I pulled out some Edmundo Rose to listen to. So I almost forgot like how many of his albums that I had. I'm like, oh, like I like Edmundo Rose. I'm like, oh yay, I have like 8 of his albums. It's awesome. And I think I tend to brush off like all of the like hi-fi jargon on these records, and taking a little time to look at this magical tissue paper diagram, like, and looking at the liner notes on the back, I feel like I really enjoyed the novelty of the recording technique. But I think like the album also has like it sounds good. Like if you were to wipe away like the noodling around with the right and left channels, like I think like the recording quality of this is quite good. So, and like, I don't know, you know, I haven't been feeling super great recently, and as soon as I put on this album, I'm like, yay, this cha-cha makes me so happy.
And you were dancing around.
I was dancing around.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like you mentioned, we do have several Edmundo Rosa albums, but I feel like he does get sort of plays second fiddle to Xavier Cugat, and so I guess we'll get to do the back-to-back comparison.
Showdown. Yeah.
So look forward
Latin
to that.
Band dance battle.
All right. Well, for more information, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/54. As always, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at livinginhifi. For longer correspondence, you can email us at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week, as we mentioned, we'll be doing a showdown with Xavier Cugat. So stay tuned for that. And thanks for listening.
Bye.